You've tuned into the Are You Screening podcast, originally live and an effort to bring you instant reactions to films. We try to stick to that theory and bring you unedited, unfiltered, and largely off-the-cuff opinions of movies, along with interviews, industry news, and hopefully a lot more. Thanks for listening, and let's get right to this week's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the areyouscreening.com podcast. I'm your host, areyouscreening.com's own Mark Eastman, and with me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire Shane Leonard.
Hello.
Who still cannot get past the flashing twinkly lights.
You hit it, and I just, one day I will.
Turns into a, it's like a...
It's really funny.
If only it, like, spun, and it was like, you know, hypnotism.
Did you ever see the old iTunes? The old iTunes, when you turn on the visualizer,
yeah,
it does
yeah.
Like, man, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Even though it's just sound waves, but look, that's my voice.
Yes, it's fascinating.
So, it is.
This yeah. week, we're going to be doing Life, as we got to catch up on that one, and Ghost in the Shell.
Right.
And we should say this week, I'm really surprised how low the box office was for Ghost in the Shell. It wasn't like...
Oh, I didn't see it yet.
It wasn't like really horrible, but it didn't do very good this weekend.
30 million?
The
40 million?
Baby... thing
oh yeah
crushed
yeah.
And Beauty and the Beast was
still dominant,
doing good
yeah.
And I don't know, I feel like it was about 20 or 30 maybe or something, but it was low. It might have been higher. It might have, by the time the
look,
final
actually,
tallies
kind of curious
I only saw I think like the estimate from Saturday or whatever,
right.
So I don't know, maybe there's a huge Sunday push. I sort of doubt it, but
yeah, that's weird.
But before we get into either of those movies, I wanted to kind of go through upcoming movies, especially because it's not really summer.
Right.
But April is the month off. So
yeah.
April is pretty much, we're waiting till May. May is when we can have big things again. But there's a lot of little stuff. There's some bigger stuff. But this is a good month if you're kind of... you know, indie inclined or something.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple of weeks, next week and the week after, where like 10 things come out to some various form of limited release, and everyone probably won't get them, but there's tons of stuff. And we're not going to go over all those,
yeah.
But because there's too many of them and they're little. But a lot of them look really interesting.
I actually don't even know what's coming up right away.
There's tons of stuff. So this week, and before we get to even theaters and the big things, I should say that in the next couple weeks, I feel like it's about April 23rd and 24th, they're re-releasing a 4K remaster of The Graduate in theaters.
Oh, yeah.
So catch that if you can.
Right.
That's obviously not going to be everywhere, but it's in a lot of places.
That's cool.
I saw a city list for it, and you can, you know, Google this and find it really easily. I don't know if we are,
yeah.
But there was, there's something like a 40 or 50 city list.
That's pretty big for something like that, when usually
places
it's just
who are getting
the top 12. You know,
yeah, and it's even better because it's the anniversary.
Yeah.
It's like 50
it's
or
45. It's long.
I think it's
50. Huge. Yeah.
But it's also not just that they're putting it out in theaters, but it's got a new remaster, which will obviously be on the new Blu-ray coming or whatever.
It'd be great
but
if
there's
they shot
a 4K.
A new end.
There's a 4K digital remaster to it, so that they can release it on 4K Blu-ray
right.
And everything. Yeah, the alternate
if they just
yeah.
brought Hoffman back
it'd
in
be
and just
good,
had him shoot one
It'd be
thing.
Good if there was like three or four endings now. If they
yeah.
just shot a whole bunch of
all movies
like
end
Clue,
like Clue.
Right,
yeah, right exactly. Clue is very underrated.
There, it really is. It's
so much fun.
It's weird to watch Clue. Most people have no idea what we're talking about, right?
But yeah, right.
Ages ago, Clue came out as a
yeah.
movie. And all I remember about that movie really is Christopher Lloyd and...
Leslie Ann Warren's in it, Martin Mull.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Martin Mull's awesome in it.
Tim Curry.
And
I was going to say Tim Conway. That
would have
been a
really
different
cool,
movie.
But I remember when that came out, and God, it was forever ago.
God,
I mean, it was like high school
yeah, right.
days. It was forever ago. But I remember you could, luckily I lived in Phoenix because I didn't think about it at the time because I was in high school and I didn't care. I didn't realize other
right.
people existed anywhere else. But,
right. yeah.
but now that I think about it, I'm like, what if you were like here
yeah.
or You know, if you were in like a smaller town or a smaller city or something, because each theater only got one ending.
I know.
So you had to go find another theater.
You had to track them down.
And I did. I only saw two in the in the theater. I only saw it twice, but there were three, and
that's
awesome. You'd look in the newspaper, and it'd say Clue, and then like A in parentheses, or B or C or whatever. That was so cool. I remember thinking at the time, they're going to start doing that.
Me too.
There's going to be
why they haven't.
Every few years, there's going to be another movie that does something like that. Yep. And never happened again.
Can you imagine? You know what's really weird?
I don't get it, but
Life could have done that.
Life could have done that.
It could have had three options for
Life. Life should have done that. And what Life should have done, Life should have done that.
I'm going to change your review, I think.
And it should have had A.
Right.
You know, one of them would say A, and you'd go to the other theater and go, fuck off.
A. Or just emoticons, like happy,
A, or
sad,
just bite
and then like
me.
Emoji poop. Like with the fly. Yeah.
We lost our family friendly rating.
I'm giving
right
your.
There. But anyway.
I'm writing down.
Oh, yeah. You're changing your guess because you didn't know.
No, I don't know.
You had no idea.
I never know.
Anyway,
never
so The Graduate, go catch that in theaters. That's going to be actually pretty cool. So
that
coming,
is cool.
Coming up this week, and we'll just go through fairly quickly, but it's a kind of a staggeringly weird month.
I'm actually looking at
these. There's tons and tons of movies, but coming this week is Colossal and The Smurfs.
Right.
That's basically like the biggest things that are coming out. But there are a lot of little things. So like I said, if you live somewhere where you got the right theaters and they'll have various things, as opposed to just keeping Beauty and the Beast,
the major,
Ghost in the Shell running forever, and you'll get some smaller things. There are some smaller things that are hitting, and they're pretty cool. Colossal looks fantastic, but also potentially really, really awful.
It looks interesting, but it looks like it could be.
So don't make a lot of predictions on that. I have no idea what that's going to do.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of clips of it too, but it doesn't really, I haven't seen any clips that really give you a solid feel for what's going on.
Yeah.
You get like the gag and then you get more of the gag and then you get it again, but they don't show clips that really tell you. And I guess, you know, if you're going to have a wonky movie like this, you don't want to spoil anything or
and I actually that makes me feel better
or
about
tell
it.
Too much about what's
because if you're
on,
not secure about it and you feel like you got to net everybody to come see something you give it away in the trailer
and then you go see it and then there's no
nothing
point
left,
and they'll give it away and then the Smurfs, which are like the characters you just won't die. I don't
you must be going to see that.
The Smurfs reminds me of when we had like the third or fourth Alvin and the Chipmunks movie.
Yeah.
It was just like,
you got to take your kids, right?
This is a really stupid thing.
You're going to do it.
But we keep making money.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? We keep making Alvin and the Chipmunks. Basically, you know, for like $5 million in special effects, and we give Jason Lee like $1 million and he's happy. And we make a movie and we only make like 50 or 70 million or you know whatever it is because everyone takes our kids. That's a pretty good ROI right there.
Yeah.
So I feel like the Smurfs is the same. I don't know anyone who liked any of the Smurf movies. This one at least is not live action. So
they learned that lesson.
they discovered not to do that. Anyway, that's pretty much what you got this week apart from catching up on other stuff that's out. Then you do get the week after that the Fate of the Furious, so that's
the huge thing. And in a weird way, I feel like
kind of a big.
That's the start of the early summer,
thing,
right? Like,
I don't know.
I feel like that's that's a June release that we're getting
in
April.
I'm not a fan of any of
Well,
those
no,
movies.
I know that.
I don't know
but
why we
this
need
is,
to keep doing it.
If I said this was opening this summer, you'd be like June or July,
right?
Not April.
And then the same week as the Fate and the Furious is the Lost City of Z, which is interesting that Charlie Hunnam is just everywhere. He's also got the King Arthur coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, right.
For one guy to be in two movies that close together, that's, you know,
that's weird,
kind of unusual. I think it's actually so interesting that he, you know, kind of oddly parlayed, being biker gang lord into, being in all kinds of movies now. Like, yeah, he's everywhere, and that's strange.
Yeah,
like if he suddenly had another TV show, right, I'd be like, well, yeah,
that would make sense, right? Because that's the way that goes.
But no, he's all over the movies now, and this one is a very weird movie about. It says the true life story. And I guess there clearly is some true life
for the secret life.
There's an actual guy that he is
the British,
who was lost searching for a city in the Amazon jungle. Mm-hmm. How you have the true story of the guy who got lost,
found footage,
and
man.
Never
he meets
was
the Blair
never
Witch.
Seen again.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what that means, but anyway,
a lot of speculative ending.
Yeah, so it looks kind of fun, though.
It does look fun.
It looks like...
and he looks good.
It looks kind of like...
I like him.
If, you know, we wanted to take a different spin on Raiders of the Lost Ark, but didn't want to go, you know, super campy, goofy and stuff, and it's kind of a serious, you know, thing, but it looks interesting. It looks very cool. Then the week after that, we've got Unforgettable, which is Rosario Dawson, Katherine Hagel, and oddly enough, Whitney Cummings. This is like the weirdest movie for me because it's almost like let's get all the people who can't make anything work together into one movie. Except I have to say, you know, nothing against Whitney Cummings. It's just weird that she's in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a comedian. I actually liked her show. It only lasted a couple years, but I liked her show and she's funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know what she's doing in this movie.
Yeah.
Or why she would be in this movie. And this is the weirdest. Katherine Hagel for me is almost like the M. Night Shyamalan of being an actress.
Right.
It's like she apparently people loved her on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Somebody was convinced that people loved her on Grey's Anatomy. And it's like now she just can't stop getting work. No matter what she does, people keep putting her in movies. Her TV show was just on for 2 episodes and got pulled.
Was it that quick?
She just had a new a new TV show, some court thing. I don't even remember the show, seriously.
Very memorable.
I don't remember what it was called, but it was and it just happened. It was like a month ago.
Yeah.
It started airing and 2 episodes and it was gone.
Yeah.
But now you can see her in a fantastic movie coming in a couple weeks.
I put forth that Unforgettable will be exactly not that. I think it'll be quite forgettable. Didn't the last film that had this, wasn't it like Jennifer Lopez and somebody? I mean, isn't it always like one girl, new life, some psycho?
Right.
You know, whatever. That's horrible.
There are
I don't want to watch that.
There are subgenres that for some reason people won't stop making. And I have to guess that it's because like people in college and high school keep going to it.
I guess.
And it at least makes enough money.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is, but it looks horrible. The same week as that is The Promise, which is one of the, you know, speaking of summer movies, right? This is one of the most oddly placed movies that I've seen in a while. This seems like a movie that should be in November.
Yeah.
Because you're hoping to get some attention for something. But it's Christian Bale and Oscar Isaac, and it's this weird love triangle during like the Ottoman Empire. It's like kind of like right at the fall of the Ottoman Empire and war breaks out or something.
Yeah.
And the trailer looks weirdly horrible for people who should be doing some good thing. And maybe it's just a bad trailer.
Who knows?
But it looks like...
Hopefully.
It looks like this goofy love triangle action. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, war.
Now
I have new priorities.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever. And it's like, you know, war hit, go. Mm-hmm. And now we're trying to escape. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird. It looked like when I was watching it, all I could think of was it's like if Trump's kids accidentally woke up in Afghanistan and thought that they were somewhere else and then suddenly went, shit, war, bullets, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's so weird looking.
Right.
Anyway, and then that same week still, we've got Free Fire, which I feel like, you know, spoiler alert, I feel like there's a chance that movie could be taken over my next year's Can't Win Awards. It has that kind of potential because it clearly can't win anything.
Right.
But it looks so crazy fun.
Okay.
It's the like real time.
Yeah.
It's the real time gun deal gone wrong in a warehouse movie.
Right.
And it looks so cool.
When we saw that trailer, I remember we looked at each other and was like, what? That's going to be it? That's we're doing that now? And then.
But then you see some of it and you're like, no.
It looks fun.
It looks like a student film, like in the best possible way.
Right.
Like when someone makes a student film because they're like, well, I can do whatever. Here's a crazy idea. I don't have to.
Guess what?
I don't have to like follow the Hollywood rules or whatever. And it's a whole movie in real time.
Yeah.
Of the hour and 45 minutes of this drug deal that goes wrong and everyone's shooting at each other and they're trying to find places to hide and duck for cover, and then they're yelling at each other across the room and stuff.
It's got a pretty good cast.
It looks really cool. Yeah, it's got Charlto Copley,
Armie Hammer, Cillian Murphy, Alison Brie.
Yeah, it's got
Brie Larson.
Oh yeah, Brie Larson.
Excuse me, Brie Larson, and she's in everything.
And it's got like, you know, maybe five more people or something like that. And
people you would recognize, but
nobody's coming in.
No one else
out.
We can get in the room. Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like a lot of fun. Then the week after that, we finally get at the end of April something kind of bigger, and it's The Circle with Emma Watson and Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like the. It's almost. You know those comics where it was like the What If?
Right.
I don't even remember what they're called, and that's not it. But there used to be this series of comics where they would just throw out these crazy things, and it wouldn't.
Yeah, What If was one of them.
It wouldn't actually be connected to anything, but, you know, there'd be like just like a special What If Wolverine
fought Conan?
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I don't know. And, you know, something crazy would happen.
Right.
And this is just like, what if Apple was like the devil? Or I don't know. What if Apple was trying to take over the world by monitoring everything you do? I don't know. It's kind of a weird, it's almost like that movie we saw, I think it was about a year ago, with Oscar Isaac, and it was the AI thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that he owns Google, only it's not Google. And secretly, or at least semi-secretly, he's using Google and everyone's searches and chatter and everything to create AI or whatever it is. Yeah. I don't know. But this one is, it's all about, you know, just monitoring everyone all the time and what you do with that. And
how free people give up their,
kind of like, it's like, here's what people are scared of happening.
Mm-hmm.
We got a whole other thing you haven't even thought of being scared about.
Yeah.
And it's like a whole social engineering craziness.
If it's good, it's going to be really fun.
If it's good, it's going to be really good. I think the trick with this one is that it's going to be slow.
Yeah.
And
every few
it's got to, you know, it's dangerous.
Remember the Tim Robbins, Ryan Philippe? He was basically built antitrust. He's basically, you know, every few years, just like the Unforgettable movie, they make one of these, which is somebody's like this super Bill Gates guy.
Right.
Somebody's an intern or a reporter. They get in. They accidentally find out something is not what it should be. Then there's a lot of chasing, investigation.
It's sort of like
then a big reveal that brings down the whole internet.
It's sort of like horror movies, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like the horror genre in a stranger way, maybe, I guess. But every few years, somebody goes, are people still scared of this?
Right.
Let's make another movie.
Let's dip our feet in and find out.
It's like, and then it's, you know, it's like single white female. It's like every few years people go, are people still scared of this?
Oh my God. A woman lands a dream job at the powerful tech company called The Circle, only to uncover a nefarious agenda that will affect the lives of her friends, family, and that of humanity.
Right.
If I drop the woman and I just say a man, that's antitrust. I mean, I'm up for that film because I kind of have a genre like for those kind of films.
Yeah.
Because I just want to see what do really people in Hollywood think computers are used for now.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's just, it's funny. But yeah. Anyway.
And it's interesting too, like, what are they going to show hacking is?
Who did that?
Or
right.
things like that, right?
But with Tom Hanks enough, you know, I know people are like sick of his Angels and Demons and his Da Vinci Code side. But with Tom Hanks in a film, I'm pretty much going to be guaranteed to go see it. Emma Watson is in it.
Right.
I mean, now you've elevated things to the point where you got a lot of heavy names right. in it. But, I mean, you could argue.
Tom Hanks is at least, you might not love everything he does, but he is an actor, and he's not the only one. There are plenty of them. But he is at least an actor who, if he took the role,
right,
you can believe that
reasonably there's something to it there. Right.
I'm not sure why he loves the Da Vinci Codes or something, but you know, maybe he loved those books or whatever. But
I think he just likes.
But you're not going to get Resident Evil, right? It's not going to be Resident Evil 10. Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, we got to get on to movies.
All those movies, The Circle is the one I'm now most interested in.
Yeah.
Out of all of those,
I am most interested in Free Fire.
I thought that was a given.
I feel like I might watch that movie all day long.
Right. We'll walk out, look at each other, and be like, we can go again.
Exactly.
That's only a 90-minute movie. Let's do it.
It'll turn out to suck,
though. Oh, come on. don't be a naysayer yet.
I'm going to jinx it. All right. So we got to get on to the movies. Life is the first one we're going to do. Life is Ryan Reynolds, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep.
And some other people. Some other people that you don't know that well.
No, it's actually got... Yeah.
Actually, all the people in it are good, I think.
Yeah.
I was fine with all the actors in the movie. And
Ryoki
some
Sonata,
of them... Yeah. Yeah, and he is actually... He's one of the better points. I wish they had him more.
He may be one of the best parts of the whole thing.
I wish they had him more in the movie because he was actually able to... keep you invested. Just he's got this weird charisma to him.
He does,
you know.
And they don't do. He's strangely underutilized in this and in some of the other things that he's been in. But when he's so close to stealing scenes when he's on screen, and he doesn't have to do anything. It's
right,
not like he's
right.
joking. It's not like he's the trickster or the prankster. He's not super brooding. He just has, and they always say it's that unquantifiable it. He's
yeah.
got that thing.
He really does.
I agree. I fully agree.
And he not only does he have it, but he has it in the way that an actor doesn't even, you know, like you said, he doesn't even have to do anything.
Doesn't.
Like,
yeah.
he can just be sitting there mm-hmm. and think, I'm scared.
Right.
And like that, and you're
you
good.
You got it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's really weird, and it is, like you said, it's really weird that they don't
he's really underutilized.
They don't get him yeah. in front of the camera a little more.
But it's hard,
especially
man.
When you don't have that many people to work with. You don't have to split it up
yeah, right.
amongst 40 people, right?
You get Jake Gyllenhaal in a film and Ryan Reynolds, not because
right.
they're bad or, you know, they're great. I actually like them very differently, but that's hard.
Right.
You
got to
fight for every moment you can get. So
right.
it's good that he's noticeable and he does
conveniently.
You know, he does a good job.
And so, you know, semi spoiler alert here, because we will spoil this movie a little bit.
I think we have to actually
talk about certain
it.
Things. But yeah. One spoiler is Ryan Reynolds doesn't last that long.
Right. I was
so
just going to say we have to
he
say
doesn't
something.
Have to compete with him
yeah.
for the whole movie.
Right.
Right. He's
just the first
it's
25
like,
minutes.
It would, it would be a lot different if Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal both lasted to the end of the movie.
Right.
Then you got a serious power struggle with people pulling on the camera.
Well, you flip open that script and you're like, I'm the red shirt. Like,
exactly.
I'm the guy that dies.
Exactly.
So,
right.
Know.
So, anyway, the movie is about, in case anybody doesn't know, it's astronauts who are on the International Space Station who are waiting for this probe to come back from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally apparently got to the point where we can send a thing to Mars and it can scoop up some dirt and then it can take off again and meet back with the
right.
space station. So they take this pod, they get soil samples out of it, and they find a single cell organism, and they, you know, they zap it with the gamma rays and they bring it back to life. Whatever, right?
They
magic it. It's like a sea monkey, right? They throw some water on it. It comes back to life, more or less.
Yep.
and then it just starts growing and growing and growing. And we've got the various members of the crew. And I will say this for the movie. They at least try to give people a reason that they are individual people. Like you've got, Jake Gyllenhaal is the guy who doesn't want to go back. And you've got...
He was interesting.
The other guy is... he's been in space the longest.
Right. He doesn't want to go home.
He's like, whatever. I don't need to go back. Mm-hmm. What do I want to go back there for? I like it here. Mm-hmm. And that at least, gave you something interesting. We've also got the guy who I don't know what his thing is, but his legs are... don't work. And he's in a wheelchair on Earth.
Yep.
So he's got his thing, right? Yep. And everybody, not everybody, but most of them kind of have a thing, right? And the one guy's wife is giving birth like right now.
Right.
And we're watching it happen. The only problem with that, I do have to say, like, kind of kudos for doing that. The only problem with that is that they're trying so hard to do it that that in itself becomes like almost distracting. It's like they're just so struggling. Look, I'm doing this. And there's a lot of non-naturalness to it. A lot of it doesn't kind of come out because we don't have time. We have to watch the crazy alien. So,
right.
Anyway, before I, start going into the whole movie, I gave this one 3.5.
Hey, I had that right.
And
that's what I wrote down for you.
And here's how this movie works. Okay.
Okay.
I thought about this one for a while, and I gave it a 3.5. And basically what this movie comes down to for me is anyone trying to do something with that rating, you have to figure out who you are and what you want to see, right?
Right.
Because at some point, the idea of giving ratings is to try to get people to know whether or not they're going to like the movie, mm-hmm. right? Not just so that everyone can know what I think. That's, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think for this movie, the more you are capable of going to a movie and just completely checking your brain at the door and going, whatever, popcorn, fun, scary, alien, creepy movie, whatever.
Right.
The closer this gets to like 6 or 7, right?
Okay.
And the less you can do that, the more this starts going towards like zero.
Really tanking. Right.
if you really have a lot of trouble doing that, and a lot of people do, I'm kind of one of them. The more this movie becomes practically unwatchable. And really all because of the alien. I didn't have a real problem with any of the actors. In a very general way, the plot's kind of okay, but everything that has anything to do with the alien starts getting really goofy if you have to think about it too much.
I struggled.
You have no rating.
No, I struggled. I struggled, excuse me, a little hard.
You're sitting over there like going, I'm out.
I wanted to give this a little bit of a higher rating, but I couldn't. And I struggled to give it 3.5 because I really thought, can I get this to light? Is it... Because sometimes what I'll say to people is like, 5, it's an average sci-fi film.
Right.
But this doesn't get it for so many reasons because I'm an old codger who watches sci-fi films.
Because 5 is like when you just want to cop out and you don't want to
give
it a rating.
It's 5. It's 5. It was average. But the things that are really good about this are really good early on. And I disagree with you a little bit, but I know exactly what you mean. I even think the alien is good early on. Everything that I liked about the movie was in the first half hour of the movie.
Well, it depends on what you mean by that.
Well, I know.
What does the alien being good mean?
Well, not much. Because from the start, my fear was that this is just going to be the new knockoff of Alien.
Right.
And it is, but it's horrible.
I think to be completely fair, this is like its own sort of subgenre that is – There's an alien killing people, and you're trapped on a space station, a spaceship, or whatever. An alien didn't invent it either.
No, right? I know.
It's not.
No, but Alien was at the time of Alien in the late 70s. It wasn't the only one. But in some ways, it was the only
but
one.
It, sort
it was
of,
the first
it,
one.
It took over.
It wasn't the first one that had way. Aliens coming, because the films of the 50s, you know, had a lot of alien invasions, whether they were pod people or the thing from another world. It doesn't matter. But as far as, like, the floating ghost ship, you know, the spaceship with the people that we're supposed to care about trapped on this thing with an alien that is unpredictable and much, much more effective in doing what it's designed to do, Alien was it. Alien was the first of those movies.
No, it wasn't.
What was the other one?
It was just the first, like, really big one. But
what was the other one? Well, I mean, I don't put it on the spot, but, I can't.
Well, there were plenty of them.
I can't think of one
before
like
Alien.
That.
There just weren't any that were a big, giant box office, like, production. But there were other movies.
You
that
should
were
tell
the same
me at
thing.
Some point.
It's the same sort of thing as, like, the Catherine Hagel movie or whatever.
I get that.
It's just sort of like a derivative. Every once in a while, there's an alien killing people who are trapped in space or whatever. But
I don't remember
Alien
any before
is
that,
definitely like the
best of them,
the biggest one.
Yeah, but and the first big blockbuster of them. But so, you know, they paint with these broad swatches with something that Agatha Christie is kind of famous for doing. You put 10 strangers on a train and you color them real quickly. And horror movies do this very quick. Actually, I should probably use that metaphor. You put these people in a van and they're going to a camp, and there's the brain, the jock,
right,
the slut,
right,
the computer geek, you know, the funny guy. You give them these quick characteristics and that's who they're defined as. And the film tries to do that, and it does do that. But when it attempts to do it with more nuance and, you know, different levels, it just feels clumsy and awkward.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like 10 minutes into the movie, when they've already established that Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds
in space,
he's the fast talking, quirky, you know, comeback
guy. Yeah.
He's always never taken anything seriously. The only thing he takes seriously is being seriously funny all the time,
right,
you know, and everybody else has their role to fill. But I felt like they just didn't want to waste any time with that because they know that the star of this is supposed to be the alien.
Right.
And that's the mistake. Because when the films like this in the genre that they're in work well, it's because you care about the crew, not it's like when you watch Friday the 13th 8 and you just want to see Jason hack up people in new or just bloody ways. I just want to see viscerality.
Right.
And the sickness in this film is believing that the alien, when it metamorphs into its different phases, because it goes through like the weird, like
it does
putty
super
phase.
Growing, yeah,
and then it goes into the jellyfish,
like the
phase, and then it goes into the octopus
and
phase,
then it's swimming around,
and now it's and like the floating octo jelly pod, you
right.
know. And as it continues to grow through these things, really what we're supposed to be shocked and disgusted at is not the characters we care about being in danger, but, like, oh my God, it went through its mouth.
But, like, the really
gruesome
way.
Oh my God,
it's
in its throat.
Kills him. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And to me, you might as well sit me down and make me watch some 90-minute film about torture porn, and
I'm not
scared because I'm desensitized to the violence in horror films anyway, but this doesn't frighten me because I don't care about what's happening.
Right.
The biggest fault of the film is it spends too much time in believing what is important to tell the story and not focusing on the story itself, and it left me pretty bored.
Yeah,
you know, visually.
Yeah, and it's a lot.
Okay.
It's a lot of. It's almost like when a horror movie is bad because it's just cats jumping on pianos.
Yeah,
and this one is. It's like the same thing, but it's just, you know, grossly killing people or having really just awful things happen.
Yeah.
But there's no connection to it, like just like the cat jumping on the piano. Like,
yep.
Sure, you jumped, but that doesn't mean
you made
a good movie.
Right, you got me,
right?
But you didn't really do anything.
Right.
And here, even though they try, and I'll give them credit for this, what they try to do is build tension because it's very rare that the alien just jumps on you in this.
Right.
Like, you're in the room with it, and you're trying to defend yourself or kill it,
and
it's
you
just
don't
not
know where
working.
It is,
you
and
know,
it's,
and
yeah.
that they certainly try to build scenes where there is apprehension and panic, but I didn't get it.
One of the bad things here for me too is that there's a good movie in here.
Exactly.
Nobody involved in this production are the people to make it. not yep. the writers, not the director. And this movie, you know, sometimes the background of the movie
yeah.
will explain a lot. This movie is co-written by the writers and producers of Deadpool.
Right.
And directed by someone who has not done much,
yeah,
right? Although he did make a cool movie. I think it's called like Code 44 or something.
I think that's it.
That everybody ignored.
Child 44.
Oh, yeah, Child 44.
Yeah. That was recent, too. That was just last year.
Yeah, and, well, it's got big people in it.
Yep.
But nobody knows it ever was out.
Right.
It's right. like really, really small thing.
Right.
But it was actually a kind of interesting movie. But this movie just screams. The longer you watch this movie, this is also like a student film, but in the worst way. Right. This is like a student who doesn't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
A lot of this movie, as I'm watching it, felt like it was a dare. There was a lot of it that yeah. was like, you know, I bet you can't put this in it, or this can't happen, or just I bet you can't make this movie at all. And right. somebody who really was not invested in making it or didn't care.
Yeah.
One of the obvious big things, right, is the end. And we won't like spoil the end, but the end of this movie is like a dare.
Yeah.
It's not a decision. The end of the movie is somebody like bet somebody that they wouldn't do it, or that you couldn't get it made if that was your ending, or something.
Yeah.
Something weird behind the scenes. Part of this movie is just Ryan Reynolds is still paying off Deadpool. When yeah. he wanted to get Deadpool made,
right. Right.
He had to make a lot of deals with people.
Give me five films, I'll do them.
And yeah. he's like, okay, fine, I'll be in that thing. And yeah. then he was like, do I have to be in all of it? Or, you know, yeah, like right. there's weird stuff going on. But there is a lot of good, like, you know, the bones are mm-hmm. good. The framework mm-hmm. is pretty good. And I think everything that goes wrong with the movie is two things. A, like you said and like I said, they're trying to make these characters, yeah. but they're doing it wrong.
They're doing it all wrong.
And they're doing it in a way that just feels so forced. It just feels like at a certain point, you know, we hold up Jake Gyllenhaal and a little, like, dossier appears
right.
and you just yeah. read this stuff about him
this
and then
him.
You'll know him, right?
right.
Like,
right.
you know, he likes, dislikes, turn-ons, turn-offs, yeah. and then now right. you know him and he's a character. There, it's yep. so forced and, like, stagey the way that they're doing it and trying to kind of shove him down your throat, and they do it with all the characters. And then, you know, like, on the flip side of that, they have, like, the leader, the crew chief woman,
the woman
or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, she's not the captain, I guess. I don't know. But she's in charge yeah. of the space station
it was
for
weird.
Right now.
Right.
And there is some weird thing that, you know, no one's in charge of the space station. And
right.
they all leave and come back and
all,
say, you know, whatever.
Autonomy,
somebody
yeah.
else is in charge.
They're all breaking. If someone says, don't do it. And they're like, I'm doing
it. But yeah. she felt basically like she had a little badge that said captain, and they showed it to you, and you're good.
That's it. Yeah.
like, right. she's the person in charge, and that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
And so all of that with the characters was, there was something there. Like
yeah.
you said, Jake Gyllenhaal's character was kind of interesting, but
yeah.
they didn't really like go with it anywhere
yeah.
because they wanted to get to the alien really fast.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the other problem is everything about the alien I thought was awful. Everything about not like in the looks or
no, I know.
Like
I actually hate
the fact,
look.
Like the fact that it won't die
right.
or you know whatever it is. But everything that happens with the alien like irritates me and
yeah.
almost to me got to the point where it was like genre mockery. Like
yeah.
it was like self,
right?
It was like making fun of itself as it's doing it. And it was like a sad attempt at trying to relay that the thing was smart.
Right. And getting smarter.
And like, and the way that it did it, it just was like, look, that's not what smart means.
Right.
That's I don't care
right.
if you're
that's
from
That's what someone not
I don't
so
care,
smart thinks
I don't
smart
care
means.
If you're from Mars. That's not what
yeah.
learning is.
Yeah.
That's not
yeah.
how things can
Yeah.
Like the and what sucked about it was that the first thing that happened was the worst thing to me in the whole movie, because you've got this single cell organism that's mm-hmm. growing to like about the size of your fist
right.
in like a few days. in a box with absolutely no exposure to anything. And now, and they try to play this off where they're going, you know, animals got to eat. It's got like a natural instinct to eat and to, you know, whatever. And I guess kill stuff if it has to eat.
Right.
To survive and all this stuff. That doesn't mean that suddenly it knows what sharpness means.
Right.
It doesn't know that thing is sharp.
But it does.
And it doesn't know what sharp means.
Yeah.
It doesn't know that sharp will break through. It's so goofy. And it keeps doing a lot of stuff throughout the movie. I'm sure it understands run away from fire. I'm sure that it could understand try to kill the thing that is
poking it.
That is, you know, trying to kill me.
Right.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Right.
The fact that it knows that it can't stay in space makes no sense at all.
Right.
Like I have to go on the space station and not stay in space because I'll die. That is like a level that, you know,
chimps don't know that. They've been around a long time.
Right.
You know?
I mean, there's so much stuff that happens, and those are, you know, not the only examples, but there's so much stuff that happens where this thing has to learn things and know things, and it's really just magic.
Right.
It's just
story poorness. Yeah.
Right. It's nothing. And it takes everything out of the monster. Like if you're talking Alien, like the movie Alien, everything the alien does makes sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything that, you know, has to be crazy. It's almost like, you know, watching Jurassic Park for the first time. And, you know, the part where he goes like clever girl or whatever, because it like snuck up on him, except you like look around the corner and it's like holding a gun and,
and it's tying its shoes.
I mean, it's just, and the worst part of it is there's no reason for it. Right. I mean, it doesn't, you know, just make the thing grow a little bigger and be strong enough to bust out of that cage.
Make it be a tiger.
Can't be that
it doesn't
hard,
have to be Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
Like, this is, and studio execs have long discovered that what people are afraid of is the absolute minimal number in society, which is the super intellect. Whether this was something that we see in all these films, whether they're James Bond villains who know everything because they plan to get captured to put their evil plan into play. No, you didn't. You're not that. If you were that smart, you wouldn't have to do that.
You know? It's funny that you mentioned it because I was actually talking to somebody else about this not that long ago.
Yeah.
And because I had talked about you talking about horror movies.
Right.
And like, you know, I'm just not scared of wet hair or big eyes or whatever like that. And we're having this conversation, and what we finally ended up with was what people are really scared of is people who can think five moves ahead in chess.
Right.
That's what really.
Yep.
That's what really
blows
messes
people's
with
minds.
People.
Right.
They're like, I have to leave.
And
I should probably kill you right now because I know
smart.
You can do that.
Right. Yeah. And somewhere along the way, studio executives have figured out that, you know, the maniacal, super serial killing, super genius that makes regular geniuses look like they're playing with dirt in the corner, you know, that's what's really frightening. So we also must make our monsters that smart. Yeah, there were times when it was doing stuff, and I genuinely thought, well, how the hell does it know that?
Right.
Where does it know what to do? Like, is it that osmosis
intelligence? It wasn't in their reading.
Right.
Like the encyclopedia. Right.
I liked the monster when it was the alien, rather. I liked the alien when it was just this little petri dish goo that was reacting to his finger moving around.
Right.
Like, because I kind of thought, that's believably interesting.
Right.
And this guy who is now the Frankenstein and the Prometheus story, not the shitty alien story, but the original story. Like, I get it. We're going to try to create life, and because we have no ability to stop our own hubris from getting in the way, we're going to think that's a great idea, even if we can't control it, yada, yada. But that's not the story we get.
No.
You know? It's so strange because I feel, in a lot of ways, like what you said, too, there's a really interesting story in here, even if it riffs off Alien. And at an hour and 45 minutes, I would have thought I could have said, you know, if they just had another 20 minutes, they could have figured it out. But at an hour and 45, it should be pretty close to being there. And it's just not. All the ambition here is in trying to not sell a toy, because I'm not going to buy the Octo Jelly Pod.
Right.
But and there aren't going to be any figures here. You know, it's just to go for this almost like what you said. Somebody dared someone and said, pick two really successful sci-fi genre films and mash them up.
Right.
And let's do it.
Right.
And I know that the studio entered.
I feel like this movie happened 100% because somebody said, I want to do this thing where it ends like this.
I was just going to say, somebody said, you know what?
Backwards
I loved Alien and we can do that, but let's end it with this film.
Right.
And they're like, oh,
right,
dude. Yeah. And can you do it for $50 million?
And it's so bonkers. It's like,
did you hate the end?
I completely hated the end.
Did you? Wow.
I hated the end because of the way that the end happened. Because the way that the end happened was because it knew it was sharp.
Right.
And you're like, what?
Yeah. I respected.
What could it possibly know? It's like at the end of the movie, the alien could have just started talking.
Right.
And went,
I'm sorry, Dave.
I've been studying your planet for.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Right. Like, who would know? Like, at the end of the movie, this could have all been a plan.
Right.
There's others of these things on Mars right now.
Waiting.
And they're like, we found this probe. We stuck this in.
Yeah. Phil, you're going in. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's your truth. You've got the straw.
Right. It's got all of its memories.
I did this last week. You know?
It's got all of its memories and intelligence when it was just one cell.
When it was the single cell. Yes.
It's so.
They could have fixed that
It's so donkey that, like the alien did it.
Right.
It didn't happen, like I said, there's no way for the alien to know what it's doing.
Right.
I mean, there's
even if it's animalistic and kind of the first, you know, and kind of like Alien, even if it's really just there to eat you and lay an egg in you, like this thing is like, I want to watch Three's Company. I got to go to the planet.
Exactly.
With it. So I'm going to learn to fly and make you do like,
this thing is, got its one little compartment of the space station already where you walk in and it looks like, you know, Leonardo da Vinci's workshop. Right. He's got like
one plan is
all over
this.
The,
you know, it could have been easily facilitated too. If they wanted to show that the alien had that capability, all they had to have was the original doctor or someone else, you know, at some point in a quick montage showing it being smart, like putting it through a maze or putting obstacles down, and it learned, like you could have established that it learns,
right?
Not just that it knows,
right?
And I agree with you, man. It just knew everything.
Give it some chance to learn some things. It's still, there's nothing you're going to do that makes me believe it learns the end.
Right.
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 But you could do something and
sure,
get me to believe that it can figure out sharp.
It can do choices,
but not
and then
by
options.
Magic.
Right. Osmosis.
Not
you know,
by
you know.
I just know everything.
Right? I still think that the best part of the film is maybe the first 20-30 minutes when and not just because things haven't soured yet, but because it still feels like it has promise. Like it feels like if it makes the right decisions, it's not going to be the best, but it's going to be worth the time. And it just doesn't do that. You know, ultimately the best part I can say about it is Jake Gyllenhaal's good. Well, the cast is good.
Right.
I don't feel like the cast did a bad thing. He shines a little bit more than others because I liked his character and his motivations were more believable. I guess somebody could say that the floating stuff has really come a long way from Gravity.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of weird floating moving things that they do.
There's interesting looking
but
stuff that
it seemed like they were real in love with this and they really milked it hard. And at one point I thought, man, I hope they don't keep doing that. Because that's going to make me sick.
Right.
Not because I'm motion sick, but it's
forever.
Just annoying.
Right.
You know?
And you know, that's another thing, too, with the movie is so much of it is just whatever we need to happen at the time. Right.
We can always make it. Yep.
And the alien is magic and can just do whatever we need him to do at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be scary if he did this. Right. Fine. And now he can do that.
Yeah,
there you go. And they've got the same thing with trying to get rid of the alien because this is there's a certain extent to which this is almost, you know, like Amityville Horror. You know, it's like, why don't we just leave? Right. Well, I'm going to make a magic rule that we can't leave. And it's so goofy. And it, again, it doesn't need to be that goofy because they make such a point out of saying it could probably fall through the atmosphere and survive and just land on Earth.
Right.
Because we burned it with a blowtorch and it didn't die.
Yeah.
And they make a point of saying that out loud.
Right.
Like, what if it survives?
right,
you know, reentry into Earth. And I'm going, what if it just swallows the Earth? Like, that's not a what if. It's made out of organic material. It's not it's not like a rock monster or made of diamond or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the whole point of that was that we know we're going to overly show you how modular the space station is.
Right.
Because clearly we could have just detached a part of it and it would be away from us.
Right.
And there's no way in hell that every single one of those astronauts didn't immediately do that.
Because
you wouldn't even think about it first.
Exactly.
Right? You wouldn't go, I wonder if it could survive reentry. You'd just be like, boom.
I wonder if it can survive eternity.
This movie's over.
That way.
Right.
I don't expect every film to do the things that I would do, especially if they're supposed to be, you know, astronauts are probably a lot smarter than your average podcaster.
Right.
But you should consider everything I would consider.
Right.
And if I'm up there.
And they should have had some astronauts, is the thing.
Right.
They should have had some astronauts behind the scenes going.
Right. Guys, this is the first protocol. Because the other thing that I actually enjoyed about the film, since, you know, it's good to interlay some positive with all the negative. I like the protocol that they admit to. I love that.
I thought
you bastards, if you'd done this kind of writing all along, you could have had me all along, because it's so good and so
effective.
Here's
what I thought about that, and it was funny because it was such a double-edged sword for me that watching that part, because I'm like, this is such a good thing, right? But now they have to make it not work.
Right.
And there's no way
there's
they
no
can
way
make,
could
it
make
it not
it
work.
Right.
So we have to have more magic.
Now we have to do more things. And by that point, I'm thinking of the same things. I'm like, you guys didn't do X, Y, and Z. And I'm tired of seeing scientists and brainiacs in space do the most fundamentally stupid things. Like, there's an alien in there and it's hurting my buddy. I'll open the door and go right in. No, you won't. The hell I won't.
This is,
you know,
there's part of this movie. On. There's part of this movie that the writing behind this movie is really focused on, I feel like, mostly dumb people go to movies,
right?
And I want to make them feel like maybe they could be astronauts too.
The astronaut recruitment program, right?
And,
this is Starship Troopers.
They'll feel better about themselves,
dude. If he had at that point, if the guy had, when he was making it, do the weird like moving back and forth trick, if he'd been like, oh look, and looked at all the other astronauts and was like, nothing wrong here. Took his hands out, opened it, and pulled it out like a slinky and was like, look, it's so cute. Right. That would have been like in line with Prometheus, where the guy's like, let me take my helmet off. I need a better look at this thing.
That would have been,
you know,
equally.
It
wouldn't have been any more dumb. It would have just been a different
just
dumb.
Right.
Right. But like I said, this is part of it is it's the only way you can have a movie. Like we set ourselves up in certain ways where it's like Amityville Horror, you know, if they just leave.
Then there's no movie. That's a fast film. Yeah.
In this movie, it's like I'm watching that movie and the thing grabs his hand.
Right.
And they're all outside and it's in the thing. And the thing grabs his hand and I'm like, I'd be hitting the button right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, sorry, dude, you're dead.
You're done.
But yeah. That thing would be like.
Maybe it's just saying hi.
It'd be like, I can't even remember the movie right now. But you know, with the light and the Zippo, and I'll cut your finger off or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember, if it doesn't light or whatever. God, I can't remember what that is. But that happens.
That happens
in that movie like so fast, and you totally don't expect that.
Right.
I'm like, I'd have my hand over the button.
Right.
That thing would grab him. I'd
be
bang.
Well, you'd be a good character. There'd be the witty guy, the family guy, and the real paranoid shit's gonna go down guy.
That's
and
right.
You'd be like, you'd have the glass
I'll
up, and you'd be like,
you
man, you blink or sneeze, I just want you to know you're in the vacuum. And he's like, well, someone pull Mark from the button, you know, because you'd be that guy. I actually want to go in space with you because I think we got a good shot at coming home. I won't ruin the end. I will say this. I wasn't wild about the end. I know you hated it. The only thing that made me hate the end was the Asian fishermen when they look in the glass and they realize, oh, that must be what Americans look like. Like, because he's got all kinds of shit all over him. When they still pull the glass off and open everything up and then kill everybody.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm speaking foolishly now, but that was so wildly unbelievable. There was a way to still stick that ending that I wouldn't have wholly agreed upon, but still understood why they did it.
Right.
But now we deserve what we're getting.
Right.
Because that's, I mean, he doesn't look normal.
I think fantastically goofy.
And I don't care.
But anyway.
So I'm not going to tell anyone to go see this.
No.
I'm going to tell them to maybe see Alien instead. And I still want to know what movie you think. I mean, I know sometimes somebody has like an original idea, but I can't think. I've been sitting here all this time trying to think of movies where an alien in space, not like lands on Earth and goes after people in a remote outpost. I can think of several of those, but like Alien seemed kind of original in where it was set, not the premise of the film.
Well, I mean,
but I'm still trying to think of it. But anyway, this is just a hack.
I don't know that that makes it different enough. But anyway, we've got another movie to do, and we've already been going too long.
Yeah.
So,
well, this should be quick.
Yeah, we'll have to do Ghost in the Shell pretty quickly.
You're at 10.
Ghost in the Shell. So at the end of the day,
this was
I feel like. And I don't think I've ever said this before.
Yeah.
But I feel like to really be fair, I've got to see this movie again to really like lock in on my rating. Like I feel like
you're taking a mulligan on this one.
No. I mean, I got to give it a rating. But what I'm saying is, by the next time I watch it, I feel like I will feel more confident in what my rating is, and it will probably change. For right now, I give it a 9.
Wow.
Wow. I really liked it.
Yeah.
But
I was off on that.
I actually still have some problems with it, but I didn't care a lot about the problems. I was actually very, invested, I thought, the whole way. And there were parts in the movie where I was going, this is kind of slowing down a little and for no great reason. Mm-hmm. And it just wants me to see her pet the dog, and I don't need that really.
Right.
But then I just didn't care. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't last too long. It didn't really get boring. I didn't like the, I don't know that we'll spoil a lot of this. I didn't really love the other guy. I didn't love that whole way that came together, and it was a little showy and kind of, I don't know, over the top. And there were parts of it where I feel like it was trying to, it was more familiar with Blade Runner than it was with Ghost in the Shell, maybe, or whatever. It just wanted to kind of mix things. But still, I had fun with it, and it just made me think about it and like it. And I don't know, I was impressed.
It's a strange movie in some ways. I wound up giving it 6.
Wow.
And I was
that's so low.
I was, well, I think in the end, with the problems that I had with it and the fun that I had with it, I feel like I'd like to see it again to know. But I also feel like that's probably the safest place to be, because part of it, I feel like it's so far away from being a bad movie. Equally as far away from it is as being a great movie.
Right.
I feel like it is so weirdly tethered in between both extremes, though during the film, I won't necessarily suggest that, if I'm being honest, that it ever came close to being a bad movie.
Right.
But there were times where I thought it would be really great, and it just seemed to not really know exactly how to hold all the really awesome mercury in its hand when it had those moments, so it shifted. I think the pacing is really off in the film. I think the strength of the movie isn't in any performance whatsoever. It's all in the visual. And if I'm going to play fair by that, at least the story was fundamentally there to keep me engaged. I was never bored, but I feel like I was only never bored because the visuals were so dominant.
Yeah.
And if the visuals, if they didn't have the money that they had or the technology that they had, there was a part of the film, Mark, where I was watching it and I thought this should be more Matrix-y than like Jupiter Ascending. And in a strange way, like what I'm saying by that is I wasn't wholly impressed with what they did with the story that they had. Like there was a lot of stuff they could have fleshed out and gone deeper into, but it seemed like they skimmed over it and they just focused on another fight, when there was more heady stuff there than action stuff.
Or showing some more of the city or taking another trip through
The city itself, you know, in a weird way, when I walked out of that and we talked about it briefly, I still feel this, which is while I was watching the movie, it made me really excited that maybe they'll do an Akira movie at some point. And I said that to you. It's got me really jazzed to see Blade Runner, which anything could get me excited for that. But it got me really excited to see that, partially because the city of the future in this film is so amazingly intricate and reliable in a strange way.
It's weirdly like a really, really great animated movie.
Yeah.
Where you just take like 3 years to make sure
to
that
do it
that and, little sign,
right?
That little spot of that sign that no one's ever going to care about or look at is exactly perfect.
Right.
And there's meticulous. So much of it. That's
but the one thing that I noticed that I was realizing when I was like, man, Akira can be done and I can't wait for Blade Runner and all these things is I wasn't focusing on Ghost in the Shell. I was thinking of all these other things except the movie that was in front of me. Visually, it's almost unparalleled. Like, it's so amazing. But I didn't think that it did a lot of the other things that it needed to do to push it beyond what I was feeling it was getting. Once I detached from how visually amazed I was, and as a quick aside, because I know we're going to maybe breeze through this in a little bit, we saw it in 3D, and it's one of the first times I can really be like, I'm so happy that I saw it in 3D because I feel like it makes so many major advances just visually because I could see it that way.
Right.
But I don't think that the cast did a bad job necessarily, even though Scarlett Johansson is, I think she took playing like a robotic person too seriously, but I don't have any slights against her. I thought she was great. Yeah. You know, I had a lot of fun and I liked so much of the other cast members so much so I really kind of wish they were more fleshed out, like the Japanese Godfather guy.
Right.
I wanted to know more. He doesn't have to be Charlie's Angels Charlie. Like, he doesn't have to be so super mysterious because he's kind of a badass. And I want, I guess, quickly through other things, like the difference between Section 9 and Hanka, like that blur, that whole line difference between who they were was never fleshed out fully for me to remember. Because I don't remember the animated. We talked about this.
Right.
I don't remember the animated movie enough. I thought I did.
I think, but, I actually really liked the story. Maybe they could have done it better. And like you said, I remember really loving the animated movie.
I have that feeling.
But I don't remember it that
remember,
well. It's been forever.
I'm going to watch it again.
I am too. But I almost feel like there was a lot of the plot stuff that in a different movie, right? Like if this had just been Bob's sci-fi movie,
right?
And it was some totally new thing that was not connected to anything else,
right?
I feel like I might be a little harder on the plot than I am, than I feel like I can be now, because I don't know, right? Like if it's the plot that's in the thing, I can't fault the movie for having the plot of, you know, it's like when they adapt a book. I can't fault the movie and go, that's a stupid story. If it's the story
based
of the book,
this.
It's not the movie's problem, right?
Right.
So I feel like there was a lot of stuff that I was watching as the plot was happening where I was really kind of just giving it a lot of leeway and just going, that maybe that's just how it has to be. That only gets you so far because the one problem that I did have with it, and it just didn't kill me. I didn't like it, but it didn't take things down too much, was when she goes and finds the woman. I mean, we won't spoil the movie, but when she goes to the woman's apartment and all of a sudden it's, you know, like, come in and be part of my life now.
And let me tell you everything I would never tell a stranger.
What the hell is this? Right.
Yeah.
That was like really jarringly.
Yeah.
Odd.
That was way out of place.
And maybe that's exactly what happens.
I hope not, because if,
And if it is, I feel like, you know, at some point, maybe you do have to do something else.
You can rewrite
take
things.
Take a few minutes and make this make more sense.
Right.
I feel like there are things, I remember this a lot from, this may have nothing to do with the movie and no one cares anyway, but I remember a lot when I was back in the day when this, you know, came out.
Yeah.
When I was, you know, reading a lot of like Japanese comics and watching a lot of these things, I remember, you know, very specifically that there were a lot of things that happened that I would go, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
And within a couple of months or a couple of weeks of talking to somebody, talking to people about it, they would go, in Japanese culture, that's not weird.
Right.
So.
Right. This is just lost in translation.
It's hard for you to hold that against the book or the story that they're telling when that's just, maybe this is a thing.
Maybe.
And it's, maybe it's not that odd or whatever, but it seemed really weird in the movie. But anyway, as far as the plot goes, I was willing to cut him a lot of slack, and I liked so much of even the like littlest things that happened that I was like, this could be really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I could kind of see maybe if some people don't react to it the same way, but it, like the part when she goes swimming in the ocean and the guy pulls up with the boat,
right?
I'm like, this could be a really cheesy, goofy, Scooby-Doo kind of moment.
Yep.
But I like it.
I like it. And I found I'm
kind of digging it.
I found I liked a lot of the small moments more than I liked the big moments.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, that doesn't make the movie bad. That didn't actually necessarily detract from a whole lot either. It was just odd. You know, it felt like they were pushing something like actions. Like at times it felt rushed to get to another really awesome action scene because we've got all this technology and we're going to make it look good. When in fact, you know, again, you know, a Blade Runner-ish kind of film where there is a lot of action, but there's more narrative and character and story at the heart of it because you want to know all these things than just exploding million glass pieces and, you know,
that stuff's beautiful. There's a lot of this movie, if you kind of compare it in a way to like Blade Runner, where, you know, there's this investigation happening.
Right.
Right. And in this movie, we're almost a little scared of the investigation.
Right.
Like, we don't want to try to figure things out too much. We will just kind of get to them or it'll be a little easier to get to them. Or we find the guy because, because I found him. Now.
Right. And, and though Michael Pitt isn't bad in that role, I think that he was still the worst of all the things that could have been good.
Yeah.
Like I'm not necessarily going to take a shit
it's
on
not
him.
Necessarily.
But he's
him
not, he's
either,
right.
But.
And I feel like it's a lot of direction and a lot of story, but even as like a, even as like the antagonist, we believe at that point, you know, he wasn't very effective. There's a scene that I liked of him before we even get to the big conversation they have, but I actually liked a moment that they had earlier. But later when the real antagonist is revealed, it's not shocking. It's not like, oh, wow, I didn't, you know, everything is so like weirdly available if you're just looking at it.
Right.
Like it's not, and I don't need it to be like a hidden MacGuffin or anything, but it just seems so obvious. And because it was so obvious, I thought it had a responsibility to be better. I don't care if you're going to tell me a boy meets girl, boy loses girl story. That's one of the foundations of storytelling, but make it good.
Right.
Like in depth and involved and engaging. Don't just be like, there's the girl. There she goes. I got to get her back. Like,
yeah. Like I said, I was,
there was just a
I
lot
just,
of weird
I watched
things.
It and I was able to be very forgiving about it. Now it'll be interesting to watch, you know, again, the original and go, well, wait a minute.
Right.
You screwed it all up and made
if
it horrible.
I remember,
that
right,
would be, that
I,
would be,
I really
want to
see the
right?
original animated film because I've got this nagging thing that there's more head in that story.
There probably,
you know,
is.
And not because they can afford stuff, but even the nitpicky stuff that I started thinking about, I'm like, well, all these, you know, and maybe the future we're heading towards, we're all the cybernetic stuff and we're all blending ourselves with technology. How in the hell are all these cops and super agents missing with one shot when they should have augmented, like you shouldn't be wasting any bullets. I give you 10, I should see 12 dead bodies.
Right.
Like you should be ricocheting shots. Like how are people missing? These are stormtroopers now. How are you missing anything? Like,
yeah.
But visually, I'll watch it again, even if the sound is off.
Right.
I mean, holy shit. That's amazing.
There are a lot of things, and I said this just as we walked out of it. There are a lot of things that, first of all, when I watched it, I was never really bored. There were times that it was slow. There were times that I thought maybe we were going down a side street for no reason when we didn't really need to. Maybe it's because that happens.
That's really
in the
what
story.
It does. Yeah,
so
I don't know.
We want to do that. Yeah. You know, who knows? But I never was bored, and I loved so much of it. I had so much fun with so much of it. And as we walked out, I was like, I have to give some bonus points to that movie just because I want to watch it again right now.
Yeah.
and that doesn't happen. I don't watch movies again. Right.
That's
but
rare
not
for you.
Only that, when we walked out, I felt like I had to give this like a couple of stars because I couldn't decide
right.
if I loved it or if it was just pretty good or yeah. if it was just okay.
I respect that.
Like I was like swimming through this movie in my yeah. mind going right. like, what happened? And I'm like, I will give you, you know, kudos
right. bonus points
just for doing yeah. something.
Sure.
Right.
If we go to a horror film and it's not very good, but there are times where it's genuinely frightening, like you get stars from me because that's not easy to do. I'm there. I'm in the audience. I'm willing. I'm going to give you over to it. Anybody that's listened to us for a long time knows that to get you to rewatch something is absolutely kind of a Herculean effort. Right. Like you got other stuff to do. You got more important things to do and you don't usually have to do it. But when we both walked out and you said that, I went, that's actually, I mean, I'm starting him at 7 no matter what, right. because right. this is at least as easy as it's going to get. It's such a strange movie because again, I'm a big visual fan of films looking good, even if they're hollow as hell, if they just have all this amazing magic stuff. Like sometimes if I'm in the right mood, that's easy enough to get a 7 out of me.
Right.
But if I'm going to play fair and I'm going to rip on something like Jupiter Ascending, which also has the detriment of being a real shitty story and bad writing and bad acting, like everything goes wrong there.
Right. Everything's but it looks wrong beautiful, with that movie.
But it looks amazing. Then if I give looks certain amount of
see,
things,
I feel like that movie didn't even look that amazing. So
I thought it looked pretty good. I thought it looked pretty good.
It had some interesting visuals, but anyway, but it still wasn't.
Substitute Jupiter magical. Ascending for anything yeah. recent that looks right. bedazzled. Nothing looks like this movie though that right. I've seen in a long time. And what I found that I was really hoping for when I thought about it later, which was, you know, I remember The Matrix, which is weird because this is an 18-year-old movie now, but. I remember The Matrix looking pretty revolutionary, but it had like a heady story there. Like it was engaging intellectually to right. be alongside the really amazing visuals that up until that point in contemporary American cinema, like we weren't seeing movies that looked like that.
Right.
I kind of felt like I watched a foreign film that looked amazing that I didn't wholly know the story. Therefore, I didn't wholly know the archetypes it was built upon.
Right.
And I also agree maybe a 6 isn't fair because I'm judging it too hard on something that doesn't work. It just, I don't feel like I can really give it much more without seeing it again.
Right. Right.
You know, strangely,
I also felt like as we were leaving, you know, obviously it's hard to not think of Blade Runner.
It really is
when you're watching this yeah. movie, just because,
which
isn't
bad, but
just because of the overall aesthetic and the fact that there's like, you know, android people, whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. it's got stuff going on.
It's pretty similar,
but I remember this made me think of Blade Runner. Like when Blade Runner came out, you know, the next day, it was not the world's most awesome sci-fi movie, right? Blade Runner didn't come out and everyone went, yep.
yeah.
That's right. it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Blade Runner had a lot of people who hated it and thought it was stupid and didn't like it. You know, it took a few years before all of a sudden people watched it several times and went, what the shit? This is awesome, right?
Right.
And I was thinking, you know, this doesn't exactly live up to Blade Runner for me completely, but this movie felt like, it was like, take Blade Runner and like maybe take a couple things out of it that really make that movie awesome.
Yeah.
And you'd get this. And I'm like, that's still pretty good. right?
Yeah.
And then I also kind of thought I would not be surprised if, you know, after this comes out on video and more people watch it and more people get more and more people to watch it and people watch it again.
Yep.
If all of a sudden it didn't get like kind of this
elevated
serious cult
following
to it because it was fun.
It really,
I was really having fun watching it too. And even though there are a couple parts that, you know, I didn't love or that were not fantastic, still overall, I was really having fun watching it.
I started to lose a bit of interest when she goes to the apartment of the woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that is clearly a breaking moment.
Because the pacing had been so inconsistent at that point. And then when it hit that, I thought, uh-oh, you know, this is really a bit of a problem. Because if you don't pick up the pace and if you continue down this avenue at this pace, now I've kind of just stuck on the visuals.
And here's
and to its credit, it does it kind of zigzags. It goes back towards her apartment kind of stuff, and then it goes away towards more interesting things. And then it jumps all over the place, too, and it's exciting and fun. I would tell everybody to go see it, partially just because of the experience of seeing it. But, yeah, I was really worried then, actually.
And not only that, but like you said, I thought Scarlett Johansson was really good. I didn't feel like I got a performance where I had to go, damn, that was, you know, awesome. But I thought she was really good. But in that scene, I thought it was another level of weirdness in that scene, because the old woman, I thought, was weirdly good.
Yeah.
And I thought that scene, Scarlett Johansson was kind of like, I don't want to do this. I don't like I don't like this scene. I'm just going to kind of go with it, I guess. Right. Because in the rest of it, I thought she was good.
She's that character. Right.
And in that scene, it was almost like, you know, maybe that's what she's trying to play.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is
that was weird.
Her character is supposed to be kind of, you know, distanced and
aloof,
lost and confused,
you know, real,
and whatever.
Yep.
But it seemed to play weird for me. And right up against this old lady coming out of nowhere, being really good.
Being good. Yeah. I felt like that conversation should have flowered more instead of just forcefully got put. Like, she's like, come in, sit down. You remind me of so-and-so, you know.
Right.
That's very, that's really forceful.
You remind me of her. How do I remind you of her?
Right, yeah.
You just do, man.
In other scenes, when you see Scarlett Johansson wrestling with who she is and what this whole ghost in the shell really means to her, even when she sees her reflection at times, she portrays not recognizing herself, which I think is important.
Right.
In that scene with that woman, it just felt like she was reading lines.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, and for people that don't know, I mean, sometimes you see those shots where someone's in a scene and they're over the shoulder of one person looking at the face of another, which we get in this, and the actor is off screen just reading the lines, feeding them the lines so they know where they're supposed to be for the timing. Like, she just did that, but they filmed her doing it.
Right.
You know, she didn't seem to be into that scene. There was another scene later that kind of felt like that. Strangely, I felt it was with Usei, the guy, Michael Pitt's character. Like, I didn't believe they would have this interaction the way they're having it. It felt like they filmed the run through.
Right.
But most, if that's the way she played it, then I get it. Because she's supposed to be kind of desensitized and neutral and robotic and not sure of who she is. And, you know, that works most of the time. So I'm going to give her a pass on the couple times it didn't.
Right.
Because I felt like she actually has a difficult job. People sometimes like to take a crap on her performances for all being a little bit wooden. Here, where she's supposed to be wooden, I thought there were a lot of good inflections where she showed that it wasn't going to be that way all the time.
Right.
You know, and that's not easy to do either. Right. It's kind of hard. So,
yeah. All right. So go see that one. We've clearly gone on way too long here.
Not that bad, but
I feel like at least I got a good time at the movies, which I feel like there are a lot of movies that I really bag on, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That people go, oh, come on, just
you're being too hard.
Eat your popcorn and have fun at the
Shut
movies.
Shut your mouth, yeah.
And I'm like, but no, this is doing that, not the really stupid movie.
Right.
That, like, there's nothing about this movie still, even if there are parts I don't like or, you know, whatever, there's nothing about this movie where it just suddenly becomes really stupid or the story is awful or, you know, anything
never
like that.
Goes that so, far. Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
See it in 3D if you can.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Really.
I think anyone, though, who sees the trailer and is interested, you're going to like it.
Yeah.
So
I wonder, you know, what's really, I mean, this is, I wish we were more familiar with the anime, because I wonder if the people who know it, like, back and forth and are really into it, I wonder if that's a good film.
Right. Well, we will.
We'll know soon.
We'll let you know, like, next week, hopefully, because I'm going to make sure to watch it
again. Check it out.
And revisit that, because it's such a weird thing. It's just, it's so long ago, but I know that I really liked
it. It's really rare for me to not remember a movie that I liked, and I really liked Ghost in the Shell.
But I was watching this, and I was going, is that part in the thing?
That's weird.
Is that not? Did they change it? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember it. Like,
stop,
I remember
asking me these things.
I remember it like, to the extent that, you know, I know that the outline is
the similar, right.
that's about
Major
as much
is in it. That's true.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So next week, I imagine we'll be Colossal, because
you don't want to
see the Smurfs.
Come on. Don't make me see Smurfs. Take the kids to that.
Next week we will see Colossal, and if nothing else, that should be a lot of fun. Hopefully it doesn't go totally stupid. But even if it's not great, like my prediction right now is that it's probably six or seven, right?
Because that's where
it's just because it's just all, looks like all kinds of fun,
and
a good time. So, come back for that one. Thanks for tuning in, and as always, please share, subscribe, rate us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us.
Yeah,
thanks.
Bye.
Hey, listeners, on behalf of myself and Shane Leonard, we want to thank you for tuning in once again. The Are You Screening podcast is brought to you by areyouscreening.com and a lot of wonderful people who help us out. Surf over to areyouscreening.podbean.com or areyouscreening.com to find out how you can become one of them. All music used in our podcast is courtesy Andrew Lord. Once again, please subscribe, rate us on iTunes, review us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us. Good night.